All right. Welcome here, Grace Church. We're very excited to have you joining us this morning. My name is Josh Brown. I am the youth director here at Grace Church. If you are new, I want to extend a very special welcome. Thank you so much for choosing to spend your Sunday morning with us. If you want to actually sign your name in the chat, maybe write down your location as to where you're from, we would love to be able to connect with you in that way. So please go ahead and do that. As I said, my name is Josh Brown. I'm the youth director here at Grace Church. I am momentarily stepping in for Pastor Ryan as he is on his sabbatical at the moment. And one thing about myself is that I am a constant learner of God's word. I adore and treasure God's word, and I think it's absolutely marvelous. I love how it is a story that leads to Jesus and how Jesus is the apex. He is the important key element of the Bible. I absolutely love that. And so this morning, we are actually going to look at Jesus. We're specifically going to look at Jesus through the lens of a guy named John, who was a follower of Jesus. He wrote about Jesus in a very real way, and I've been calling it the realities of Jesus. So we are going to be looking at some of those realities this morning. Actually, one in particular, we're going to be looking at Jesus as judge. Yeah. Jesus as judge. So this is going to get a little bit uncomfortable at times because we're going to be talking about judgment, and judgment can be very, very uncomfortable for us. I think about myself, I've often been judged based off of how I look. When I was a teenager, I was often judged as a punk, as someone who would break the rules. And whether that is because of the way that I looked or the way that I acted, whether it was right or not, the fact of the matter is that happened, and I didn't like that. I didn't like that people judged me. I don't like that feeling of judgment, and so this can get uncomfortable. But what I love about John is that he's not shying away from this idea that Jesus is the judge. And so we're going to look at that judgment today. And so what John points out is that Jesus is the judge, and judgment is coming. So let's look at that together, because we're going to fall under the just judgment of our judge. So John chapter 5 is where we're going to be spending our time this morning. John chapter 5, verse 22. So if you want to flip in your Bibles to John chapter 5, 22, that's where we're going to be starting with this morning. So let's read God's word together. John chapter 5, verse 22. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but he has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So right away, this is going to challenge you right away, right off the bat, because John is saying that Jesus is the judge and that the judge deserves honor, right? So let's actually look at this word judge for a moment. This word judge in the Greek, it's a word that means to decide. All right? It means to decide. So the text is saying that there is one who has the ability to decide. And look it, we make decisions on a day-to-day basis, right? This is not news for anyone. We make decisions all the time. We actually decide between right and between wrong all the time. Like, we make decisions in our approach to our sex lives. We make decisions in our approach to what life looks like, what poverty is, and how we're going to deal with that. War. We make decisions on justice. We make decisions on love. We make decisions in many different areas, and we look at these decisions and we determine whether they are right and whether they are wrong, right? Culturally, we've actually entered a time and we've opened up this conversation about love specifically. And we've decided that love will have no borders, that love is love and it doesn't matter how it falls. This is culturally speaking. What's going to result from this? It's a question we need to ask ourselves. Listen, if you follow Jesus, you also make decisions. You make decisions of right and wrong. It just looks a little bit different. You make decisions as to whether or not you are going to follow what God's Spirit is actually leading you towards. And you say, okay, I'm going to do that thing, Lord. I will submit to your rule. Or you say, no, I'm not going to do that one. We all make these decisions, and this is what it means to judge. So with Jesus being the judge, it actually shows that there is one who has a higher rule than you do. That there is one who's actually above your judgment, your own decisions, that there's one with the what I'm calling the final authority. All right, John lays this out. He's saying that there's one who has the final authority. He is the judge. And this is problematic for us because we have a deep desire to make the rules. Look, this started all the way in page one of our Bibles. Go back to Genesis. Page one. Open up your Bible and you'll see a story. God creating heaven and earth and placing two individuals in that garden who are to act as representatives for him. And so in doing that, he creates them in his image to have the ability to rule and to steward over God's entire creation. They have the ability to make an impact, to make decisions. And for a time it goes well, but as most of us know the story, these ruling representatives, they decide to make their own rules. They decide to decide for themselves. And so in doing that, they actually end up creating kingdoms of death and darkness and evil throughout the Bible. Sin is entered into this world. A brokenness is entered into this world, and they're no longer able to rule correctly. And so we see manifestations of this all throughout the Bible. We get the Tower of Babel. We get Egypt with Pharaoh. He is building an empire, and in his judgment and his decisions, he makes a decision to kill so many baby boys. That's evil. That is not good. Right? And so we continue, like we see this all the way through. We see people like the Assyrians. They build a kingdom and it's not good. It is a kingdom of evil. We look at the Babylonians. Even God's people, Israel themselves, become a kingdom of evil as they turn from what they were intended for. And they define good and evil based off of their own eyes and their own mind. These kingdoms of darkness and these kingdoms of death are created and formed. So now, in our day, we operate in a world where it almost seems, where it actually seems impossible. It seems impossible not to participate in these kingdoms in some form. Let me illustrate this for you. If we look at the issue of unethical labor. I had a professor in Bible college who taught on the book of Revelation. He taught a class on the book of Revelation. And specifically, there was one class where he was teaching on Revelation chapter 18 and how evil empires they've built their luxuries on the backs of human lives, on human people. And he drew a comparison to our time now and how we in the West live on the backs of little children who, with their little fingers, they dress us in fine linens. And they provide us with our luxurious products. And see, this hurt me because I was stuck. So I looked at the situation and I contemplated my own participation in all of this. I was a participant in this. I would go to stores, to clothing stores, and I would buy the clothes, and I can see the tag when it says made in China, made in Taiwan. I know what that means. And so this guilt washes over me because I'm supporting this. I'm supporting it with my money even. But as I said, I was stuck because I looked at the situation and I'm like, I know it's not just clothing that's the issue. There's a bigger problem. And it seeps into every aspect of the world and the structures that have been laid out before me far in advance to my own being. It seems impossible to get out of participating in these kingdoms of evil. What do I do? So whether we're conscious of it or not, living in this world, we will continue. We will continue to push our proclivities towards sinfully seizing our rule over our lives. I'm going to say that again for you guys. Whether we are conscious of it or not, right? Whether we are aware or if we're not even aware, living in this world here and now, the world in which we inhabit, we will continue to push our proclivities. We will always reach. We will continue to strive in some way towards sinfully seizing our rule over our own life. We will always try and take it, and in doing that, we end up deciding to build a kingdom of evil because there's something broken. We end up deciding evil often, and this means that we will fail to honor our judge. We'll fail to honor our judge. Listen, we all struggle. We all struggle to honor the judge. We all struggle to show the judge, to show Jesus reverence and to label him with importance and to treat Jesus with the respect in which he deserves. We struggle with it. Some of us may not even strive for it entirely, but we all struggle with it. In our sinful and our broken states, we fail to respect the position of Jesus as judge. We do. We fail to respect. We've all been there, right? We think about, man, if only I could hold on to the power to make decisions. If only I could be the one to make the decisions, right? Just think back to when you were a teenager. Think back to when you were a teenager and you were living under mom and dad's roof and under their care and living off of their resources. And yet you think, oh, if only I was able to have my way. If only I was able to do this thing or to do this thing. Like, this is all, I just want to impose my will in this situation. If only my will was lived out. I want to decide for myself what is good. We've all been there. And so we say to ourselves, I want to decide what is good. I want to decide what a good sexual ethic looks like. I want to decide what is right to do with my money. I want to decide what life is and what life isn't. I want to decide what it means to love the poor. I want to decide what freedom actually looks like. We hold on to the power. We strive for the control. And we long to strip away the honor from the judge. And we long to decide what is right and what is wrong based off of our own standards. And listen, I need to be very real with you. That is horribly flawed. It is horribly flawed because we do not have the proper qualifications. We don't. So let's look at those qualifications. The qualifications of the judge. So if we look at verse 24, it says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has actually crossed over from death to life. Very truly I tell you, a time is coming and has come now when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. And those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man." So there are two qualifications for Jesus that makes him eligible to be the judge. The first is that Jesus is the Son of God. And the second is that Jesus is the Son of Man. So we're going to look at these two qualifications. So Jesus is qualified to judge because he is the Son of God. All right, this idea comes, the idea of the Son of God, this comes from Psalm chapter 2. And I would love to read it and to study it deeply with you guys and to show you all the little bits and pieces. And unfortunately, we just don't have the time to do that. But I do want to encourage you, please go and read Psalm chapter 2 and look for these nuggets of truth throughout them and how they point to Jesus, because it's really quite brilliant. So Psalm chapter 2 gives us a picture of the Son of God, and it's this picture of a royal anointed one who will come and usher in the proper reign and rule of God, often in the Bible called the Messiah or Christ, as it is in the Greek. So for the Jews, right? We're looking at the context of the passage that we're in now. The Jewish people, they thought this meant, awesome, we're going to receive a political leader, and he's going to step in, and he's going to take down the evil kingdoms that be, namely Rome. They thought, okay, just take down Rome, and everything's going to be okay. But Jesus has a different story, and I love that story because it's so much deeper than what the Jews had originally thought. The truly royal king steps in and actually challenges something bigger than evil political kingdoms. Those are bad. Don't get me wrong. Those are bad. But there's something bigger going on. Jesus comes in and he challenges the evil root behind these kingdoms, all right? So he comes in and he challenges death and evil as a whole. When I was a landscaper, I was a landscaper for about, probably if I added it all up, 2 years. It was on and off over the past couple of years as kind of a side job for me. And when I first started landscaping, I was doing something called softscape. And that basically is mowing lawns, weeding flower beds, planting bushes and flowers and whatnot. And so part of my job coming in to being a landscaper, I started out at the bottom, so I would have to do the job that nobody wanted. I was the designated weed plucker. And so I would go to these massive flower beds, and I would spend hours on my hands and knees plucking weeds out of these beds. And when I first started plucking weeds, I would grab hold of the weed and pull the weed off, or pull the weed out of the bed. And in doing so, I would snap the weed off of itself and then place it into our disposal bin. And what I noticed was that when I would come back to the flower bed a week later, there would be the weed. In a week's time, it would have sprouted a whole nother top all over again. And the only way in which we could actually get rid of these weeds was to take our tools and to rip up the ground. And in doing so, we were able to extract the root of the actual weed itself, and thus no longer would that weed come forward. Do you see the picture here? The root must be removed, and Jesus has come to deal with death and brokenness at its root as the Son of God. He's come to take on the whole thing, deal with it all at once. So Jesus is qualified to be the judge because he is the Son of God. But Jesus is also qualified to be the judge because he is the Son of Man. Now, this idea comes from Daniel 7, and again, I wish so desperately to be able to extract this passage with you, but we just simply do not have time. But this idea comes from Daniel 7 of the Son of Man, of a rightful human ruler who will rule as God intended over all things. All right? So again, if we go back to Genesis chapter 1, we'll see this idea and this picture of humanity being created and established as righteous representatives who are to rule on behalf of God, for God's glory and under God's guidance. So we see this this is the purpose, this is the reason for our existence, is to be rulers and steward over God's good creation. So we take our ability to rule. This is what happened. We took our ability to rule and we attempted to assert it over God's. And in doing so, we actually lost what it meant to be human. Like something broke. Right? So we are no longer human in the way in which God intended. So something's actually broken. So the truly human one, the one who's actually able to rule correctly, he steps in and rules on behalf of God as God intended, under God's guidance and for God's glory. He rules under those specifications. See, being human is not a bad thing. It's actually a very special thing. It's something that should be cherished and celebrated and but also held responsibly. It means that we have impact in this world. And so as the truly human one, Jesus, he inherits the ability to rightfully judge because he is operating out of God's intentions. So this means that Jesus' judgment as the Son is the same as God's judgment as the Father, meaning he is the one with final authority. It means that his word goes because it's the same as what the Father intends. His word is final. It's just like how a courtroom judge has all the authority. I just recently was talking to someone about how they had a run-in with the law when they were younger, and when they had this run-in with the law, they got a ticket, and they wanted to fight this ticket. And so they took it to the courtroom. And there you have, in the courtroom, suits and ties, and you know, you got your briefcases and all that stuff. And then you have the judge, you got the robe on, and then all rise for the honorable, and then everyone stands up, and the judge, and this and that. So he's in the courtroom, right, fighting this ticket, fighting this charge. And as he explains the details to the ticket, the judge recognizes the absurdity for this ticket. And in his judgment, he says, I pronounce that this ticket is overturned. And then boom, down goes the gavel. And that's it. It's done. It's finished. His word is final authority. It's done. And they're celebrating and this and that. And it's a great story. But the point that I want you to take home is that the judge's word is the final authority. And just like the judge in the earthly realm, in the world of the courtroom, Jesus is the judge over all creation, and his world is, or his word is final. His judgment is final. And so here's why this is important for you to understand that Jesus is qualified to be the judge because he is the Son of God and because he's the Son of Man, is because it means that you can actually trust his verdict. You can trust his verdict. So, see, some of us, we struggle to trust God, that God actually has good intentions, right? We look at our situations around us and we're like, you sure, God? Are we sure this is actually how it's supposed to play out? Are you sure you're actually looking out for me? Because I don't really feel like it right now. It doesn't really seem like you're in control and that this is the way it really should be going. Right? We can all recognize, and I resonate with that. I feel that. I often think that for myself. Like, are you sure? Like, we're all under lockdown. Are you sure? Listen, you may feel weak when it comes to trusting in God's decision-making process. You may feel weak in that trust. You may feel broken or discouraged, or you may feel dejected or tired or worn out. But despite how you may feel, you can trust the judge who will fight with death until it kills him. You can trust that judge. The Son is qualified to be the judge. So if he's qualified to be the judge, that means his verdict is true and good. Let's look at the verdict of the judge. Verse 28 says, "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned." Listen, I want to ask you a question. Will you participate in kingdoms of darkness and death? Is that what you desire? Do you desire to outwork your intentions and your judgment and your decisions on the world? Because if you do this, you will be rejecting the judge. Because as I said, we have failed in our humanity. We have broken it in choosing that for ourselves. And that leaves us deeply flawed. And there will be a time when you will get what you want. But I'm not sure you actually want it. Like a child who does not know what is best for them, are you sure in your decision? As a participant of the kingdoms of death, you will see the death that you desire. And I know you don't see it as death. You experience the wrath of God by being handed over to your own desires for death. Listen, this is a warning. If you continue in evil, then evil is what you will continue in. If you continue in evil, then evil will keep producing from your life, and that is where you will stay. You will end up in nothing but evil. And I so desperately don't want that for you. Because at the end of the day, listen, at the end of the day, it's going to be God's judgment. He's going to look at everything in which you did. And you've got to give an account for the kingdoms of evil in which you built and in which you participated in. I don't want to see that for you. Are you prepared for that? But this is where the beauty of the good news of Jesus' kingdom comes into play. This is where the goodness shines. See, your story doesn't end there. Your story does not need to finish with the kingdoms of evil and death and brokenness. You get a second chance. Although you participate in death, you can experience life. See, I know of Jesus. And in his kingdom, death actually turns into life. Look at the cross. I know of Jesus. And in his kingdom, brokenness is actually made new. I know of Jesus, and in his kingdom, darkness turns into light. Lies are replaced with truth. Chaos turns into peace. Sin is swapped with righteousness. Listen, I know Jesus, and in his kingdom is a life in which you have never imagined for yourself. It is a never-ending life of the finest quality, and I want you to experience this. I don't want your story to end in death. So honor the judge. Cherish the judge. Respect the judge. Show reverence to the judge. Submit to the judge. Turn to the judge. See the judge. Listen, if you honor the judge, then you will participate in God's kingdom of life and of love. There will be a time in which you get what you want, but not in the death and the brokenness sense. Instead, the love that you're reaching for at the depths of your heart, the love that actually comes from the Father, that love, you will get to see it. That life in which you so desire for, the true life, the life of the finest quality, the life of peace and of love and of joy and of kindness and of goodness. That life, you get to see that life in God's kingdom. As a participant of the kingdoms, as a participant of the kingdom of God, you will see life and love that you so desire, but based off of God's standards and based off of God's goodness and under his grace. Right? This is the life that so many of us who are watching today, this is the life that we signed up for. This is the life that we subscribed to. This is the life that that we get to experience in portions now and one day forevermore. This is good. This is the good life. This is God's life. And I want you, if you're a follower of Jesus today, listen, I want you to think back into the day in which you first tasted that life. Think back to the moment in which you first were able to experience that goodness. Let's share in that goodness. Let's share in that memory. Let's go and proclaim the story of how we were participants in the kingdoms of death and how we have moved our citizenship to the kingdom of God. And now we get to live and show pieces and portions of that now. Let's go and share in that good news. So let's honor the judge. Two things come from this. The first is to treasure the judge, to treasure Jesus. Hold on to Jesus, cling to Jesus, learn about Jesus, search for Jesus in the Word. But also let Jesus, submit to Jesus. This is the second thing. Submit to Jesus. Treasure Jesus and submit to Jesus. Let him lead. Let him guide. Let him move through you. Listen, the only way in which you are able to actually see portions and pieces of this kingdom is if you let God's Spirit actually move through you. Otherwise, it will be the perpetual cycle of kingdoms of death. And as followers of Christ, we know we no longer desire that. Yes, we may fall at times to those moments of brokenness. But as the Spirit of God moves through us to make us more human, truly human, like Jesus, but also change and transform us to be like God in way of seeing and living out his intentions, reflecting those on the world around us, establishing us back to our original intentions as humans. Let us go forward from this place, moved and motivated by God's Spirit. Let's pray. Father God, you are so incredibly good, and I am absolutely astounded by what you have to say in your word. What you have to say about Jesus and being the judge. And although this can be a message that is hard to take in, that we will be judged, that there will be a day where you will look at what we have participated in, how we have participated in the kingdoms of evil, and we will have to give an account for that. We will have to look at you and say, yes, God, I have participated in this. But I'm so thankful for Jesus and that he has opened up the book of life, and that he has written down our names if we so believe and if we so hold on and proclaim that Jesus is actually the Lord, that Jesus is the master over all things, the ruler over all things, that he is that he is God. We get to experience life. Never-ending life. And I am so thankful that we get to experience that life now and forevermore, that we get to have portions and pieces and fractions of that life now, and help us to be able to share those things with everyone around us that we come in contact with, all fueled and motivated by your Spirit, Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who carries that authority, and through the power that comes from the Holy Spirit that allows us to live out God's kingdom. We pray, amen.